You know, the Bible is the Word of God, but it's all sorts of books wrapped in one. It's, for example, it's a history book. The events that are recorded in the Bible are all true. They actually happened. It's probably the most accurate history book that exists on the face of the earth. Every so often, an archaeologist will dig something up. They'll find an ancient city, and the headlines will be, "Archaeologists Proved the Bible." Well, they're just nitwits. The Bible doesn't need to be proved. It's been true all along. It's a science book. The Bible told us before men knew that the world was round, that life was in the blood. It doesn't need to be proven. It's just been true all along because the author of science was the author of the Bible. It's a book of poetry. Some of the most beautiful poetry in the world is found in the pages of the Bible. And it's also a song book. Some of the most wonderful songs are recorded in this book. This morning, I want to look at the Bible in a way that perhaps you haven't thought about it before. I'm sure you've thought about it as a history book, a science book, a song book, a book of poetry. This morning, I want you to think about it as a recipe book. It's a recipe book that's different from every other recipe book because all the recipes in this book are guaranteed. When we first got married, Debbie, my wife, bought several recipe books. I remember one of the first things she tried was an upside down pineapple cake. And so we went to the store together and we bought all the ingredients. I didn't help her cook it, but I watched her. She did it very meticulously. She followed all the instructions to a T. And she slipped it in the oven. She pulled it out of the oven. And then it turned upside down on the floor. And it sure didn't look like the picture. But the little doggy liked it, and so I'm sure I would have. But God's recipes are always guaranteed. I mean, he paints us a picture of what they create, so to speak, the dish that they create. And then he tells us the ingredients, how to create that dish. And I will guarantee you that every recipe that's in God's book comes out exactly like he promises that it will. I want to look real quickly this morning at two or three recipes that are in the book. I want to show you the dish that's promised, and then I want to tell you how to make it. And again, I guarantee you that if you follow the steps to make it, it will come out exactly how God describes it. I want to look first of all at the recipe for salvation. There's many verses in the Bible that have the recipe for salvation. I'll just pick one this morning. I picked John chapter 5, verse 24, where the Bible says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus is talking in that verse, and he paints a picture of what salvation is. He first of all says that the picture of salvation includes everlasting life. Now, in case this might be the first time you've ever heard that word everlasting, it means exactly what it says. It means life that lasts forever. It starts the moment that you put into play the steps in this recipe that I'm going to tell you about in just a second, and it lasts for all eternity. It lasts forever. If you have eternal life, it will never end. And again, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to get eternal life. You can have it the moment that you follow the steps of this recipe. I stand before you as one that has assembled the recipe, so to speak. I stand before you as somebody this morning that has everlasting life. I will never die. Now, sometime this old body will wear out. Sometime I'll have the big one. And sometimes you'll pass by my casket and you'll see the thing that has gotten me around on this earth, this vehicle called my body. It'll be laying in the casket. But don't be sad. Don't mourn. That's just the shell. The nut has went to heaven already and will be with the Lord forever. Because I'm never going to die. I have everlasting life. So it's everlasting life. It also says in the picture of salvation, shall not come into condemnation. That means I will not have to stand before God in judgment of my sins. Now you might say, does that mean, preacher, you've never sinned? No, just the contrary. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of God's perfection. I've done some things that I know have been wrong. I've accidentally done some things I didn't know were wrong, but it doesn't matter. The Bible says if I commit one sin, in fact, it's from the same book that we read a moment ago, from the book of James, if I offend the law in one point, I'm guilty of all. And so I am a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. But this picture of salvation, this recipe says, I do not have to go before God to stand in judgment of my sins, because my sins were judged almost over 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. My sins were judged on Him. He took them all to the cross. God laid all of my sins and all your sins on His Son. He judged them on the cross of Calvary. And that means that you and I, if we do the recipe that's in this book, don't have to be condemned for our sins. They're paid for already. And then the picture of this dish says that we pass from death to life. I'll be honest with you. A pastor probably shouldn't say this. I don't like death. I mean, if I had my way, nobody would ever die again. You just get older and older and older. I mean, I have funerals, but I don't like funerals. We have funeral dinners, and I don't like funeral. I mean, I like the food, but I don't like the occasion. All right? If I had my way, if I could be king, I would just say nobody would ever die. When the Lord gets ready for us to go to heaven, we'd just be raptured all together and we go to heaven. But this dish that's pictured in this book says we pass from death to life. Now think about that picture. It's a picture that says everlasting life, no condemnation. Passing from death to life. Boy, doesn't that look good? I mean, doesn't that look like something like you'd like to enjoy? Doesn't it look like something you'd like to try? Well, it gives us the recipe in that verse. Jesus said, he starts out by saying, verily, verily. He usually said that when he wanted people to pay attention, when he was trying to capture their attention so they did listen. He says, verily, verily, he that heareth my word, he that heareth the Bible, the word of God, that heareth from this book that we are all sinners, that heareth from this book that there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. That heareth from this book that God has put that penalty on His Son, and that His Son paid that penalty, and that now, because His Son paid the penalty, God can offer to every single person the gift of everlasting life. He said, he that heareth my word, heareth in this word that where it says that if we call upon Him, if we ask Him, He will save us. And so Jesus said, he that heareth my word, the Bible, this book, and believeth on Him that sent me. In other words, God the Father sent a Son. He sent Jesus to die in our place. And so Jesus said, if you hear my word and you believe that God did what my word says He did. Now notice, it doesn't say that you get everlasting life, free from condemnation, pass from death to life because of communion. Doesn't say that. Communion's a good thing. We have it once a month. It's a way to remind us in a very special way what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But there's nothing that has any saving power in that little piece of bread that we eat. There's nothing that has any saving power in that little glass of juice that we drink. It's just a picture of what Jesus did for us. And so it doesn't say if you take communion. It doesn't say if you get baptized. It doesn't say if you join the church. It doesn't say if you live a good life. The Bible says it's not of works, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, not of works. There's nothing that we can do to work our way to heaven. The recipe says, If you believe, if you hear my word, and by the way, you've already completed the first step of that recipe just a minute ago. You heard the word of God. You heard that you were a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid it. And if you call upon him, he'll give you everlasting life. He'll free you from the condemnation. He'll make you pass from death to life. So you've already heard it. All you got to do is complete one more step. Believe on him that sent him. Believe that God did exactly what he advertised in this book. Believe that God did exactly what this book says. And if you'll do that, then you'll have everlasting life. Amen. You'll pass from death to life, and you won't have to go into condemnation. You know, sometimes we make the Christian life too hard, too difficult. It's simply believing what God says and then doing it. Doing it. So here's a cake. There's probably not a cake. I'm thinking about cake. But anyhow, here's a dish. A dish. And it's a wonderful dish. It's everlasting life. It's no condemnation. It's not having to worry about death anymore. And you've already, there's only a two-step recipe. You've already completed step one. All you got to do is the second one. Believe. Believe. The Apostle Paul, when he was in jail with Silas, the Philippian jailer, asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Say, preacher, you're making it too easy. I'm not making it easy. I'm not making it up. I'm just proclaiming what's in that book. God made it easy. He said, you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary to pay for your sins, and he'll give you life. Free from condemnation. Make it and do away with death. You'll never have to suffer death. All right. I have 8 or 9 recipes. I only got time to share one more. You don't need to turn. Here's the next one. So it comes from the book of Psalms. You don't need to turn to it. Let me just read it to you. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Listen to this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Now, verse 3 is a picture of the dish. Verse 3 is a picture of what this recipe will produce. The picture of this dish is a tree planted by the rivers of water. By the rivers of water, that the tree can put his roots down and suck out of that river all the nutrients that it needs for life. It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In other words, at the right time, that tree will produce the fruit that it's supposed to produce. By the way, that passage of scripture compares us as Christians to that tree. We are planted by the river of water. We are planted in the Word of God. We are planted where we can send our roots down and get the nutrients that we need to grow as a Christian. We will bring forth our fruit in the season. At the time that's right, at the time that God ordains, we will bring forth fruit. Some of that fruit is other people coming to Jesus Christ. Some of that fruit is being filled with the Holy Spirit and living the Christian life in a way that pleases God. There's many fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and different things. But the picture of this dish is a tree that's planted by a river, a Christian that's planted so that he can sink his roots down, draw the nutrients that he needs to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I was driving the other day. I saw a couple leaves fall off the tree. I said, this is too early. It's not fall yet, but they were already fall. But this tree never loses its leaves. It's an evergreen. It stays green all the time. And here's the best part of this dish. Here's the best part of this recipe. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Just think about that. If you follow this recipe, anything and everything that you do will prosper. It'll be a success. And since I'm not talking about the Christian life, if you follow this recipe, you can prosper, be a success at being a husband. If you follow this recipe, you can prosper and be a success as being a wife. If you follow this recipe, you can prosper and be a success in being a mom and dad, or an aunt or uncle, or a brother or sister. If you follow this recipe, you can be a success at your job. You can be a success in your relationships. I mean, when the Bible says, and whatsoever he doeth, it means everything in every area of life. If you follow this recipe, God says, I guarantee you, you'll be a success. What's the recipe? Well, there's five steps to this recipe. First of all, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take counsel from ungodly people. Now, I'm going to take this to an extreme. I don't think you should take your car to a mechanic that's not saved. I don't think you should have a person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior do your income tax. You ought not to take counsel from ungodly people. You ought to take counsel from people that know what it is to know Jesus as their Savior and to walk with God. And I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't take counsel from ungodly people. Don't stand in the way of sinners. In other words, don't hang around with sinners. It's not enough to stop drinking. Don't hang around with people that do. It's not enough to quit cursing. Don't hang around with people that do. It's not enough to quit your bad habits. Quit hanging with people that still have them. Amen. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Means quit complaining. Don't listen to gossip. Don't be a gossiper. Just stay away from it. Then delight in the law of the Lord. In other words, you delight in this book. You love this book. You read this book. You spend time in this book more than you do anything else. If you delight in something, you're gonna spend time in it. You're gonna spend time with it. And so I delight in this book. And then the last part is I meditate day and night. In other words, I read it, I think about it, I read it some more, I think about it some more, I memorize some of it, I think about it some more, I meditate just like a cow chews a cud. I keep chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. And God says, if you don't take advice from the ungodly, if you don't hang around sinners, if you don't complain and gossip, and you love this book, and you stay in this book, and you think about this book, and you chew this book, then everything that you do. Now look, this is not me promising. This is Almighty God making a promise and says, here's the recipe. If you do this, this will what will happen. Amen. So why can't we just believe God? Why can't we just say, hey, this is a recipe book. God makes some promises for if we follow his recipe, this is the dish that it will produce. Why can't we just do what God says? You're here today and you're not saved. Why can't you just believe? What have you got to lose? I was talking to somebody this week. They were telling me, they were talking to somebody else about Jesus. And this person had been thinking about it, and they said, well, I'm pretty close, and I'm almost there, but I just don't know. How can I know for sure that it's true? And this person that was witnessing to him says, well, if it's not true, all that you've lost is that you've lived a good life. But if it is true, you're going to lose heaven and spend eternity in hell. Now, I believe the Bible is absolutely true. I believe there is a heaven and a hell. I believe the person that makes the difference between whether a person goes to heaven or hell is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why can't you just believe the Bible this morning? If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've heard the word, that's half the recipe. The other half is just believe. What do you got to lose? It's not going to cost you anything. We're not going to send you a bill. We're not going to charge anything. It's free. We didn't make it free. God made it free. Amen. Just believe. And if you're a Christian, I know most of us here are Christians. I got 8 or 9 promises up there. I just shared one with you. There's hundreds in the Bible. Hundreds of recipes that work. They're guaranteed. You know, some mornings I fry an egg. Believe it or not, I fry an egg. Some mornings they turn out perfect. The yellow is right in the middle and the white is just right. I like my eggs runny. I like to sop up that yellow juice with a piece of toast after I've eaten a couple, 4, 5, 8 pieces of bacon or however many. Sometimes they turn out perfect, but there's other mornings You can't tell if it's an egg or a turnip. It looks so bad. But that's not the way God's recipes work. They always turn out just the way that he has them pictured in the book. Amen. Let's make the Christian life simple. Let's just believe God. He says something, it's true. Let's just put him to the test. See if he doesn't take his word, keep his word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises, the recipes that you have in it. Thank you for the beautiful pictures that you have associated with those recipes. Beautiful picture of salvation. Beautiful picture of prosperity and success. And you make the steps in the recipe so simple that any person could follow them. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never received Christ as their Savior, they've heard the word. Help them just to put their belief in you and the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. What he did on Calvary to pay for their sins. And just a second, we'll sing an invitation song. I pray, Father, that they'd get up and they'd come down front and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to realize that you have so much in store for us. You just didn't come to give us life. We came to give us life more abundantly. And that abundant life is wrapped up in the promises that you have for us in your word. And so I pray that we claim them. We put you to the test. We try the recipes and see that each one of them ends with what you promise. So, Father, please just bless this invitation. Speak to hearts. Help people to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.